verse 1. After these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Then he gives us the 12 tribes. Shall we turn over to chapter 14, please? Chapter 14. And verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. Now that's on earth. And with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Now you hear something from heaven. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts. Now that identifies where this choir is, because the four beasts had to do with the throne we spoke on in chapter 4, the four living creatures and the elders. And the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, during they were men, for they are virgins. That word applies to men and women. As Paul brings out over in 2 Corinthians 11:2, the whole church said, I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Notice in the opening verse we read about the restraining angel. The one angel is restraining four other angels. These other angels are the angels of the four winds that are blowing upon the sea, as we have in Daniel chapter 7. Certain great influences are going to be released at that time, undoubtedly connected with the four world powers that you have referred to in Daniel, all headed up in this final form of the Roman government, as seen in this beast here. And then you have the scarlet woman riding the beast to take up when we get to that chapter 17 and 18. But in other words, you notice that these four angels are restrained. The one angel is dispatched to restrain these four other angels. Restrained for a time. For God says, I've got something I want to do, and it's important. And I want these other influences to be restrained. I want to see. I have an angel ready, and I want this angel to seal 144,000 Jews, 12 out of each tribe. So it shows the importance attached to this incident, how God wants other influences stopped, and everything concentrated upon the sealing of 144,000 marvelous men. You remember in chapter 6 when we spoke about these beasts, and the command came, come and see. Scholars tell us that in the original, and see is not there. Just the word come, it's a command. And so, this one beast was given the command, man, pop, and the white horse rider came. Then another command, come, and the red horse rider comes forth. And another, come, and the black horse, and another, come, and the pale horse. In these texts, and the reason I'm bringing this out is, to show how everything is under divine supervision. God is supervising events, and nothing is done without His permission and His direction. The moment has come for these things to take place upon the earth. God is a God of order, He's not the God of confusion. Everything is done the way He wants it done. And when the church is taken up to glory, as we've often pointed out here, then we saw those two lovely scenes in chapter 4 and 5, the throne and the occupant of that throne. Now the time has come for these things to take place on the earth, and when that moment comes, when the clock strikes, then God gives the command. And these things take part, and come to pass at God's permission, and at God's permission only. So you see heaven's restraining hand in the book of Revelation, preventing things from coming to a head before their time. God wants everything to be done as He has planned, and so it shall be. Now we're getting into these 144,000. Very interesting, and I believe they're literal. 144,000 men, 12,000 out of each tribe of Israel. You remember God said to Elijah when he was moping about how he was being persecuted. God said, Elijah, I have 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to Baal. I believe in that day of apostasy that there were exactly 7,000 men. And I believe the numbers here are not figurative, but literal. 12,000. Out of each tribe. Out in Los Angeles, there are 7 cults who claim to be the 144,000. And they might just as well have another one and have another one wrong. They're all entitled to being what they think they are, but let's see what the Word of God says about them. First of all, these 144,000 are definitely Jews. They're from 12 tribes, and I challenge any man today, historian or scholar, I don't care who he is, or a rabbi, or an educated man who knows all about the nations of the earth, to select 12,000 Jews out of Judah, out of Israel, and out of these tribes. They don't even know themselves. You couldn't find a Jew today and tell you what tribe he came from. They're so swallowed up among the Gentile nations, so dispersed, so absorbed, they don't know what tribe they're from. Yet there are people today who say they're 144,000. You ask them, what tribe did you come from? They just say. That only brings out the miracle that God is going to perform. Man couldn't do this. I don't care what research he goes into, how he studies, you cannot trace 12,000 Jews today back to their tribe and the other tribes as well. This is a wonderful miracle. God only, knowing the hearts of all men, has an angel. When it comes to God doing something, you call on His angel. You do it. And the angel does. And this angel knew who it was to put the stamp on. These men were sealed on their foreheads. And don't let anyone tell you today that there are 144,000. If they're not Jews, they can't be among the 144,000. And they've got to know what tribe there is. And they don't know that. And so it's very clear that somebody's wrong today. Another thing, you can't belong to the 144,000 as long as the church is here. The church is still here. and the 144,000 Jews are going to be sealed after the church is gone. And also the beast is not in power. Because when God seals his 144,000, the beast is going to seal his. And the beast's not here yet. So the 144,000 have not been sealed. And yet people today go around and say that they're the 144,000. So many years ago, before there were 144,000, I suppose at that time there were about 100,000 in the world. I was riding on a train and I sat down beside a gentleman and I handed him a tract to read. He looked at it, he saw it was a religious tract. Oh, he said, I'm one of the 144,000. Oh, I said, you are. Yes, sir. Well, I said, are you sure of that? Yes, he said, I am. Well, I like getting ahead of my story. But this time they had passed that number. It just come out, they had passed the 144,000. So I said to him, I said, well, I hear that you're over the 144,000. Oh, yes, we're going fast. He said, we're way over that. Well, I said, there must be a bunch of hypocrites who only supposed to be 144,000. Which are you? Are you sure you're among the 144,000 or are you among the bunch that are over the 144,000? Well, he said, I don't know very much about it myself. He said, I'm in it because my wife is. In other words, he put it on his wife. But there are people today, and they claim to be 144,000 or one of them. And they're not yet sealed. The church is still here, and the beast hasn't come. And so we know they're a mistake. And yet, I'll tell you, you have to admire their zeal. Here are people, and they've got the right motive. They get their message out, but they're using the wrong message. Their method, yes. Why, look at their method. How they'll get out to go from door to door, all over the world. They've got the right methods, but the wrong message. And Christian, those of us who believe in Jesus Christ and the plain old-fashioned gospel, we've got the right message, but seems the wrong message. We're not going out witnessing personally to Jesus Christ. It's nice to put all the blame on the preacher and expect him to draw the crowd. I think this, that every individual Christian, brother, we were to work like the Jehovah's Witness. I tell you, we could turn all the upside down. They may call us a bunch of fanatics, but that's okay if I'm off the rocker. If I'm insane, heaven's an asylum, that's where I'm going. But if you're really saved and you know it, they're going to call you a nut, but never mind, Christ the boat, you're fixed to him, so you're all right. Anyway, God wants us as his people to get out. Get the message up. Although many around us have lots of methods and means of getting the word out, the poor souls have got the wrong message. They claim to be the 144,000. They're not yet sealed by God, so we know they're all astray. Another thing in connection with these 144,000, as we notice, they're men. Only men, all men. 144,000 men. Well, that's not true about the 144,000. Say to be that today, because the women are much doing what war to do with the men. See the women going around. And furthermore, these 144,000 were not married. Remember? Unmarried men. Those today who say they're 144,000, they're well married. They're lots of kids. And 144,000 here never die. They are sealed at the beginning of the tribulation, and you see them at the end with Christ. On Mount Zion, but those who are Jehovah's Witnesses today, oh, I came out with it. They die. They used to be Russellites, then Millennial Donners, then International Students, and now, then they were Rutherfordites. Now they're Jehovah's Witnesses. A big question. So you see, they don't fit the picture at all, because 144,000 in the Bible, they're all men, they're unmarried men, and they don't die. These things we've mentioned are absolutely not true of those today who claim to be. In other words, you find these 144,000, they've got one message. Their message is that of the coming king. The coming king. The gospel of the king is like releasing 144,000 John the Baptist. I know how God called John when John went forth. And he had one message, and that was the message of the coming king. Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. That was his message. That will be the message of the 144,000. That this Christ who has come and caught away his church is now in heaven. He's going to come and set up his kingdom and reign. This will infuriate this beast when he thinks someone's going to be greater than I. And he'll persecute those 144,000 men because of he who persecutes the woman in chapter 12 that brought forth the man-child, and she has crowned with 12 stars, the 12 tribes of Israel. And it was Israel who brought forth the man-child Christ. And Satan turns all his vengeance on Israel. And here we find these 144,000 messengers. In the time of the beast, the world dictator, announcing a king is coming to establish his kingdom and dispose of all the enemies of that kingdom. The result of their message is simply this. A great multitude of Gentiles, we spoke on this morning, that great multitude of Gentiles out of all nations will be the converts of the 144,000 Jews who go forth with this wonderful message of the coming king. I want to say this. Does this mean a second chance? Will I have a second chance? I believe the 144,000 Jews and the great multitude of the Gentiles will be people who have never heard the gospel or the grace of God today. And I want you to look at the texts over in Isaiah. It's in Isaiah, the 66th chapter and verse 19, and I'll read it to you. And I will set a sign or a seal among them, and I will send those that escape, the 144,000 escaping from the terrible time of tribulation, escape of them unto the nation, to Tarshish, pull, Lot, and draw the bow, the Tubal and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my faith, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, among the nations. And if you read those places, it's north, south, east, and west. There it says, connection with Tarshish, the west, to Pullan, Lud, the south, to Tubal and Javan, the north, the isles afar off, out to the east, to the Asiatic continent. Here is God selecting the 144,000 to take the message, he says, to those who have not heard my name, who have not heard of my name. And in spite of all the coverage today, the news media, radio, and also the television, and the missionaries scattered all over, I am confident among the here are 3 billion people on this earth. There are thousands, hundreds of thousands who have never heard the gospel. Who have never heard a thing about the gospel. They'll be the ones. They may be Hindus, Mohammedans, we don't know. But God knows the people in this world who have never heard the gospel of the grace of God. When Christ comes, he'll take his church up. Those who've had a chance and missed it are done. But there are those who haven't heard. Will hear the message of the 144,000. Otherwise, where will the nations come from? The spare nations. To go into the millennium, to repopulate the earth, if they haven't heard something during this 7-year period. those who were living prior to the rapture and heard the gospel and didn't accept it, their chance is gone. And I want to give you a text to that. Okay. Over in 2 Thessalonians 2, and God says they shall perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause, God shall then send them strong loose to the face that believe a lie. That lie is the Antichrist. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. That seals the doom and shuts the door to all who heard the truth before the rapture. They'll have no chance in the tribulation period, but only those Jews and Gentiles who never heard the gospel of the grace of God, they'll have an opportunity to accept the gospel of the kingdom, the coming king, and enter into the millennial blessings. When will the decision be made? Who's going in and who isn't? You have that in Matthew 25, and I'm sure you're aware of that scene in Matthew 25 where you see the Lord Jesus sitting on Mount Zion. He's sitting there, and it's the throne of David, and he'll be sitting in that day on the throne of David, and before him are gathered all these. And you have three classes of people there. You have his brethren. They are the 144,000. On his right hand, you have the ones who believe the gospel. You have the sheep who believe the gospel of the king. From all nations, there they are, they're the sheep. They believe the testimony of these 144,000. Those on his left hand were those who hate him. And you know what happened? He says, those on my right hand, come ye blessed of my Father. Enter the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. From the beginning of the earth, it happens. But when he talks about the church, he says, you're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. But when it comes to the people going into this earthly kingdom, he says, you were chosen. Blessed are ye my blessed are ye, those on his right hand, come into the kingdom, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And God promised to Abraham that there would be a seed, and that seed in a coming day would be in power of the Jewish nation, reigning with their king over the earth. And that hasn't happened yet. It's got to happen in the land. So I think that makes it plain as to that scene in Matthew 25. Here are those in his right hand, those who have been saved from the Gentile nation, listening to the testimony of the 144,000 sealed Jews. They said, but when did we see thee naked and clothed thee, and hungry and gave thee food, and thirsty and gave thee drink, and sick and ministered unto? He says, inasmuch have ye did it unto one of these, my brethren, ye did it unto. Those people will be saved to go into the kingdom, will obtain the right to go in, because they show their faith in the message of the 144,000 Jews by their works. In that day, those Jews will be persecuted. It'll be the day of Jacob's trouble, a time of tribulation like of which this world has never known, says the Lord Jesus. Those Jews will be hung. They'll be sought. And there are going to be Gentiles who are going to take them in. They're going to minister unto them. They're going to feed them, give them drink, and nurse them when they're sick. Christ says, you receive these by Jews. And so doing, you receive. And they show their works, their faith, rather, by their works, the Lord, these 144,000. And I'll tell you, God expects us today to show our faith by our works. Saved to serve. After you're saved, then you serve. So I trust that has cleared that up for you, because he says to the ones in his left hand, depart, ye cursed, with everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, the goats on his left. I was an hungry, and ye fed me not. Thirsty ye gave me not. In prison and ye visited me not. Sick and ye ministered not unto me. When did we see you like that? Do you remember that despised Jew that came to you one day, tried to tell you that Christ the King was returning? The Christ who had caught away a church, his bride, was coming back to set up his kingdom. Get away from my door. I don't believe a word. I couldn't give you a thing. I'd be a marked man. I'd lose my life in the hand of the Antichrist. The beast driving the Jew away. Yes, says the Lord Jesus, you drove me away. For as much as you have done on one of the least of these, my friends, do you wonder why there's a growing anti-Semitism in the world? And it's growing in America. A hate of the Jew, just because you're God's earthly chosen. So we notice 10 things. We'll have to get into that very much through the night. 10 things. We pointed out 10 things this morning relative to the Gentiles. Thought of 10 things relative to these two. The first thing is they were chosen. God selected. Only God could. 12,000 out of each tribe. My, well, that's been a wonderful, will be a wonderful scene. Think of God coming up, one of his servants, one of the 144,000, or the angel. Of course, the angel, the 144,000 are being selected. The angel would come and put a seal on. A seal on his forehead. My Father's name, says, he put upon his forehead. There'll be a visible seal. This man will be surprised to be told what tribe he came from. You're a Jew. You're from the tribe of Judah, the kingly tribe. What a surprise will be when the angel of God begins to select 144,000 Jews to put his Father's name on the board. Where can we see? Yes, they're going to be selected. Isn't it wonderful we read in Hebrews or Ephesians 1:4, chosen in Christ. We are. Those today who are in the church. Chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. Isn't that remarkable? Well, you say, do you believe in election? I believe in man's responsibility as well as I believe in God's election. Our business is to preach the gospel. I don't know who's elect. I don't know who God is to. God must know. We wouldn't be God, for God knows the end from the beginning. God knows who will believe his son. And the gospel is presented. And no one will be rejected for simply refusing something he didn't have the chance to accept. God sends us out to the gospel to whosoever will, and I don't know who the elect are. But after someone comes to Christ, I know I'm saved. God saved me. Well, you're one of the elect. Why didn't you tell that before? I got saved the Lord. When someone comes to Christ, they say that I'm the Savior. I can say you're one of that. God knew it, but I didn't. Very much like the colored man, when he was confronted with a question. Well, he said, it's like this, Ben. He said, I was election, and the Lord, he done vote for me. And he said, the devil, he done vote for me. He said, I done voted with the Lord, I was elected. And that's true. God wants you. You say, I want him. You're elected. You've got to choose with God. Yes, You chose me, I chose you. It's like a wedding. Like the young man who's showing off his beautiful bride, he said to one of his friends after the wedding, what do you think of my choice? She said, I had to choose you. She did. There must be truth, she said. The bride and the bridegroom both. And so we find these men were chosen. Wonderful choices. And then they were preserved. They're going to be preserved through those fearful days that are ahead. Preserved. Yes, it's nice to know that those of us who are saved today in this age of grace, we are preserved. Unto him, you read in Jude 24. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We are preserved. And he also tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord. And the one who will keep the 144,000 that day, in those days far more fearful than today. My, the day we're living in heaven by comparison to what those days will be. Here are these men, and there'll be women too among the Gentiles who favor the 144,000. They'll suffer. It'll mean something in that day for you to take sides with Jesus Christ. It'll mean your death if they catch you. Anyone that sets the seal of the Antichrist instead of the seal of God or God's message, he'll be lost and lost forever. There's no question about that. And so, you're preserved. And then sealed. These 144,000 were sealed. The seal was on their forehead. It was visible. But our seal today is invisible. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. If you think of these men, 144,000 sealed on their foreheads, they couldn't hide it, could they? When the seal was put there, he says, his father's name on their foreheads. What do you think the Jew would have said when the angel, when he will, put that seal on it? Oh, don't put it there. Put it somewhere where my clothes are covered. I don't want people to know I'm one of the Lord's soldiers. You say you would do that. They do it today. People today whom God has sealed by his Holy Spirit under the day of redemption, they don't want it to be known publicly, trying to cover it. A shame of Christ. A shame to own Christ. To acknowledge him as your Savior. Ah, yes, they're going to be sealed. Then with a visible seal. Ours now today is an invisible. The sealing speaks of, first of all, that you are a member or membership, ownership, member of a family or ownership. Yes, you're mine. The seal of ownership. Today, when you purchase certain things or property, there's a seal attached to that purchase. Meaning assured. Folks, the Lord has put his seal upon every one of us who are saved. They're mine. He says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. There are two marks of the sheep. They hear my voice, the ear mark, they follow me, the foot mark. There are two of the marks to be today on his sheep. They hear my voice. They obey it. They follow me. And so you find ownership here. An identity. The seal also indicates identity. Whenever one of those men in the coming day will be seen with a mark on, he's identified immediately with 144,000 Jews. What about the mark of you? Well, I'll tell you, if you quote too much Bible around this town and talk about remembering the Lord on Sunday, you'd be identified right away as from the Army Gospel Chapel. They're identified. Especially that loneliness idea that's gone around town, you've got to wear a hat to become the Army Gospel Chapel. You tell anybody you've got to wear a hat to go to that church, you're identified right away. But that's not altogether true. We don't enforce any woman to wear a hat. If she's a child of God, we believe the scripture teaches us to wear a coat. As the apostle Paul says, so say we. If they want to be contentious, let them be content. You can't put them out of the church, Lord. Just let them be contentious. That's what the Bible says. If they don't want to obey the Lord, that's their business. We can only show them the scripture. But there are certain marks that will identify a person. You can find that sometimes it's a man working in the shop. He quotes John 3:16 correctly. They say, are you a preacher? Just because he quotes Bible, he looks for a preacher. Why, every Christian ought to know the Bible. And quote plenty. The moment a person talks about the things of God, he's identified. You talk about the Lord Jesus. Talk about him who saved you. Ah, yes, you're identified. You're identifying yourself with the Lord Jesus. Yes, praise God, I am. I'm not ashamed of that identity either. Then again, this speaks of knowledge, the seals in their forehead. Well, speaking of knowledge, understanding. That's what the Bible says. In other words, we know, we have that knowledge of God. This is like eternal that we might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ in our sense. And John's epistle is full of that little word, know. We know we pass from death into life. We know we have eternal life. We know we're the children of God. There's the mark of knowledge. Seals in their forehead, speaking of knowledge. Do you know these things I'm speaking about? Do you know your sins are forgiven? That's the mark of a real child of God. Then again, you have character seen in this identity. Character. The ones who were sealed, had character. That coming day, they will have character, remarkable character. Do we have the characteristics of a real Christian today? Are those marks upon us? But also you can think of character can be read in a person's face. There are those who are expert at reading character by the man's feature. And a person reads you as a Christian. Do you have the characteristics, the expression of a child of God, or you're going around with a big long face like a mule? New Year's Christian? Christians ought to be happy people. At least confident. And certainly honest. And sincere. These are characteristics of a real child of God. And then again you have the thought of authentication. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He says concerning Christ, who the Father has sealed. How did God seal the Lord Jesus Christ? When he was being baptized, the Spirit came upon Christ, and the Father's voice said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. That was God's seal. God's authentication. God, he claimed Christ, authenticated the fact that this is my Son. In him, I am well pleased. And it says also, this is my beloved Son, and these are my people. These are my people. Just as God said, this is my Son, so he says of his own children who are born again, they are mine. And in that day, when they wear that seal across their forehead, that's the seal, the authentication that these are mine, says God. They're my brethren. They're mine. Then again, you have the thought of servants. You'll notice the 144,000 are not called sons, but servants. They're God's servants. only those in this day of grace that he calls sons. We are members of the family of God. We are the sons of God. As many as received him, to them gave him the power to become the sons or the children of God. 144,000. Although they suffer far more than we suffer, yet they're only called servants. They're not called sons. Then you have the thought, too, of security. I see it. Here's a boxcar. It's got some valuables in it. And the railway man, he goes and he puts a seal, a little aluminum seal, on that boxcar. The seal itself's not very strong. You could break it. But that seal has a message. Hands off. The railway company is behind what's in this car, protecting it, and see that it gets to its destination. Don't break that seal. The little seal itself is not much, but it's the authority behind that seal. Friend, let me tell you, every one of us saved by grace and has God's seal and the Holy Spirit. God says, hands off. That's my property. And I'm going to see that it gets to its destination. And God will. Everyone saved by grace, he says, I've given unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Here you have security. What a wonderful thing to know. I am secure in Christ. God will see to it that I get to my destination, which is heaven and hope. Then you'll notice they suffer. Yes, they suffer. But they reign. They suffered through those dark days. Now you see them in chapter 14. And they're reigning with Christ at Mount Zion. Peter says, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. So we today, as Christians, we know something of suffering with Christ. Suffering for Christ, but with a view to reigning with him in that coming day. And they sing. Did you notice that? They sang a new song. It's pretty interesting in reading that in chapter 14. While the 144,000 are seen around the Lamb, and he's seated on the throne, Mount Zion, which he loved, and the 144,000 are around him. All of a sudden there's a voice from heaven, and harpers harping with their harps. It's a beautiful cry, and it's a beautiful song. What is the song? It says no one can learn that song but the 144,000. How is that? There are martyred saints, we read about them in chapter 6, the fifth seal, and you see them and their spirits are under the altar and they're crying out for vengeance upon those on earth who slew them. And God tells them to wait a little while until others of their brethren shall be slain as they were. The end of the tribulation, you see these souls in heaven. And they're singing a song because they came out of those dark and dreadful days. A song that was born in suffering and persecution. 144,000 cannot. Yes, we know what they're singing about. We happen to survive. God protected us. But they were killed as martyrs for Jesus Christ. And there's a song being sung in heaven that the 144,000 on earth understood the meaning of it and sympathized. Is that a wonderful thing? Yes, God understands our sorrows. He knows all of us. And friend, there's not an experience that you as a Christian pass through but what there's not someone in heaven who can sympathize with you. Who while on earth passed through the same deep waters. So here we have a song being sung in heaven, born out of the fires of fierce persecution. Like many of the Negro spirituals, born out of slavery, born of the slave. Not the melody or the rhythm, but the feeling, the very feeling of suffering. And so it will be in that day. Song being sung in heaven, where those were sympathizing with those on earth, and those on earth were sympathizing with those in heaven. They've been through the same fires, the same time of persecution.